जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय प्रभुपदा जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिपूजक आचार्य Astatora Sati Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivajak Acharya, Astatora Sati Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, and all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Before starting this class, I just want to thank everyone who is attending here and online. It is my pleasure and privilege to share these merciful teachings that Srila Prabhupada has so kindly given to us, and I pray that all of us may be benefited from them by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, by the mercy of all of the great sages, and I pray for everyone's blessings here so that I may say something useful and beneficial for all of us so that we may all move further along and further upward in our pursuit of God consciousness. Vamna sandarshito datra dushtaram nisit dushtaram nistitirshatam dushtaram nistitirshatam kalim sadvaharam pumsam karnadara Ivanavam Tvamna Sandarshito Datra Dustaram Nistitirshatam Kalim Sattvaharam Pumsam Karnadara Ivanavam Tvamna Sandarshito Datra Dustaram nishtitirshatam Kalim sattvaharam pumsam Karnadara ivarnavam Param Nisti Tirshitam Kalim Sat Baharam Pumsam Param Nisti Tirshitam Ladies, please. Dustaram nishti tirshatam. Any other ladies? Any other men? Synonyms. Tvam, your goodness. Naha. Unto us. Sandarshita. Meeting. Datra, by providence. Dustaram, insurmountable. Nishtitirshatam, for those desiring to cross over. Kalim, the age of Kali. Satvaharam, that which deteriorates the good qualities. Pumsam, of a man. Karna Dharaha, captain. Iva, as. Arnavam, the ocean. Translation. The sages are speaking here, and they are speaking in particular to Suta Goswami, whom they are praying to and hoping that he will reveal the knowledge that he has obtained when he was seated during the last 7 days of King Pariksit's life, and listening to the Bhagavatam given by Shukdeva Goswami. So he has it all memorized. We can see the kind of memories that they had in those days. So same with Shukdeva Goswami. He heard it from his father, concentrated, focused, and it just went in like a script, and then he broadcasted it as if he were just reading the script. Translation. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Please repeat. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. The age of Kali is very dangerous for the human being. Human life is simply meant, human life is simply meant for self-realization. But due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan will gradually decrease. People will gradually lose their memory, finer sentiments, strength, and better qualities. A list of anomalies for this age is given in the 12th canto of this work. And so this age is very difficult for those who want to utilize this life for self-realization. The people are so busy with sense gratification that they completely forget about self-realization. Out of madness, they frankly say that there is no need for self-realization because they do not realize that this brief life is but a moment on our great journey towards self-realization. The whole system of education is geared to sense gratification. And if a learned man thinks it over, he sees that the children of this age are being intentionally sent to the slaughterhouses of the so-called education. Learned men, therefore, must be cautious of this age. And if they at all want to cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali, they must follow the footsteps of the sages of Naimasharanya and accept Sri Suta Goswami or his bona fide representative as the captain of the ship. The ship is the message of Lord Sri Krishna in the shape of Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavadam. Omagina timirandasya gananjina shalakaya chakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. Beg for his blessings that I may say something useful and beneficial for all of us. In the translation, it is mentioned, I'll restate it. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. So here we have Suta Goswami giving emphasis to the necessity, the urgency of devotee association. Here they are in a big assembly, and they have assembled for the very purpose of a sacrifice which is to go on and last for 1,000 years. They don't even think of the time. They think of the necessity that Kali Yuga is a place where people who may have some good qualities may, by the association of persons who are evil, who are wretched, who are sinful, who are badly inclined, will become affiliated, will become associated with those persons. And the result of that will be that they will become ever increasingly more sinful, more wretched, more. Somebody is giving a translation here someplace? Because I'm hearing that. Yeah, no, it's not. Take it upstairs, Mataji, but then I won't hear it. Towards the back. I'm sorry. Yeah. Because it's distracting as I'm speaking. Thank you. So, as I was mentioning, that this divine association, this spiritual association, is so important. It's important because each and every one of these particular saints, sages, sadhus, they're all practicing some degree, some kind of activities leading to self-realization. And they're all emanating spiritual vibrations in the mode of goodness or pure goodness. And that vibration, that emanation, is not just stopping at one foot from their own body, but it emanates it. It radiates. And everyone who is in that association is receiving that radiation and thereby benefiting from it. So it's not that we just sit here and listen, but there's more than listening. We're receiving the benefit or the merits that each and every devotee has acquired and accumulated over his many lifetimes, and especially in this lifetime, through his spiritual practices. It's like taking a shower. Each devotee is giving a shower here, a shower of mercy. And when we are aware of this and we appreciate it, the result is that we actually take great benefit, and we look at devotees as a blessing to our spiritual life, rather than just another person with some white clothes or orange clothes or some orange jumper, whatever. It's not that. These persons are helping me, not only by just being here, me meaning everybody, not just by being here, but by their loving service, cooking foodstuffs which become prasadam, which we eat and which bless us, performing worship on the altar, which brings pleasure to the Lord when the all worship is done with affection, with surrender, with submissiveness, and with thankfulness. Wow, I am getting an opportunity to serve the Supreme Lord of the universe. Who am I to get such a great position? You see, when we worship is done in that attitude, with that manner, Krishna heaps upon us blessings upon blessings. Is this person, he doesn't think he's anything. He doesn't think he's anybody. He's feeling that he's being blessed by just being here and being given the opportunity to do the service, and not like some of the devotees that, I'm doing the deities a favor today. I'm going to fan them because they're a little warm. They should be a little obliged to me for cooling them off. What? No. We have to be obliged to the deity for giving us the opportunity to cool them off. It is a blessing from them. It is a blessing from Srila Prabhupada. He created this temple so that all of us may imbibe those blessings. And to greater or lesser degree of our appreciation, of our thankfulness, to that greater or lesser degree, do we receive from the deities, do we receive from Srila Prabhupada his blessings? When the Lord sees that we're not taking things for granted, we're not taking it as if it were due us because I did a little punya, I did a little good service, I cooked an offering for the deity, and I'm thinking that, wow, what a great thing I did. When a devotee stops thinking like that, but he's always thinking, wow, I've got an opportunity. This is a privilege. This is the greatest opportunity and privilege that a person can ever have. It is the greatest of jobs. It is not just helping out the temple. That's not the idea. We're not helping anybody but ourselves. And as soon as we realize that the deity and Srila Prabhupada are giving us that opportunity, then we take a different position. We want to throw ourselves on the floor with arms stretched out, with legs stretched out. Thank you, Prabhupada. Thank you, my dear Lord Krishna, my dear Srimati Radharani. Thank you, Gornitai. Thank you, Jagannath Baladev, Lady Subhadra. I don't even deserve to be allowed into your temple. And yet, in spite of my sins, in spite of my faults, in spite of my wrongs, you let me in. Thank you, Lord. You deserve the greatest of applause. You are allowing a horrible, sinful person to come in and purify him through your association. I am so grateful, and I am so so fortunate to be in such surroundings. Not only get the deities association, I get the wonderful association of the devotees and their beautiful singing voices as they glorify the Lord. So this is the value of good association. It should not be taken lightly, cheaply, ordinarily, as unimportant as just another person. Sometimes when we become very familiar with each other, we tend to look at each other, regard each other as just ordinary persons. And while we can interact with one another that way, in our heart of hearts, in the back of our mind, we should be thinking always, they are not ordinary persons. And if we could remember the truth, then even our joking and our playfulness and our frolicsomeness, which is natural in devotional service, it will not affect us because we will keep in mind that they are all devotees of Krishna and I am being blessed by their association. So, moving ahead. In the purport, it is mentioned, but due to this dangerous age, men have completely forgotten the aim of life. In this age, the lifespan, well, we'll get to that in a moment. But it says that men have completely forgotten the aim of life. First of all, most men, most women don't even know what the aim of life is. They don't know that the aim of life is to achieve God realization, or on a higher level, to just give constant, attempt to give constant pleasure to the Supreme Lord. That is the aim of life. To please him in every which way that we are capable, according to the talents and the lights that he gives us. As it's mentioned here, this is the aim of life. To be constantly involved constantly absorbed, constantly attached to the Supreme Lord, so that there is never a moment where we are not either engaged, we are not thinking, and we're not loving the Supreme Lord. This is the idea. But it says over here that men have completely forgotten the aim of life. So what does that mean? Most people, I never grew up with the idea or the knowledge of what the aim of life is. My understanding of this forgotten the aim of life is that we all once knew the aim of life, especially when we were in the womb. In the last 2 months when a woman is pregnant, the soul awakens. We can get this, by the way, for references in Lord Kapila's discussion with his wife. what is her name? Yes, Mother Devahuti. So he was discussing this point. And the point is that in the last 2 months of a, when the woman is pregnant, the soul arises or awakens from its sleep and becomes aware of the fact of who it is, why it's here, what the true purpose is. And it begins to pray, "Oh my Lord, in my last life I forgot you. I became entangled, I became absorbed, I became filled with all sorts of illusory ideas, and therefore I've had to take this birth all over again. And so I am begging you, my Lord, please do not let me forget the purpose of life. Right now I know it. Right now it's clear. Right now I'm in this very uncomfortable situation." Sometimes the Freudian psychiatrists or psychoanalysts, they try to say, yes, everybody wants to go back into the womb. What is he talking about? When you're in there, you're all just bunched up and enclosed in this little encapsulated, uncomfortable situation. And you're awake now, fully conscious. So no, that is a flaw. What he's really meaning is that we don't have to go to work. The work is done by the mother. She eats and then we get fed as a consequence. So anyway, the important point here is that the soul knows what the purpose is. And he begs the Lord, please don't let me become entangled again with all the material illusions which occur from what? We have mother, we have father, we have sister, and we have brother, and we have aunts, and we have uncles, and we have business associates. We become entangled and attached to the degree that they give us pleasure, and we are filled with disgust or hatred for them to the degree that they give us discomfort. So these attachments and dislikes or aversions, they get deeper and deeper, bigger and bigger, to the point that we cannot get them out of our minds. They're in the mind. And when a person is dying, even if he's trying to chant the holy name, he's thinking of, I got to get back at my business partner. He stole 10,000 bucks from me. Or my brother, why did he snarl at me at his last birthday? I gave him a good present. Or my wife, I think she was cheating on me. Why is the person thinking these things at the last? Because he's attached. Attachment means it's like you take some epoxy and you stick it on here, you know, and then you wait 10 minutes. You can't separate it because it's glued. It's tight. Similarly, our attachments become like the epoxy. So attached, so glued. So, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning here, this is, of course, the result of this terrible types of education that we have. He calls it the slaughterhouse education. Slaughterhouse meaning that, in effect, the soul is killed. Of course, the soul can never be killed. But when you keep covering it with illusory matter or material matter, and lust is good, anger is good. They tell you that, yeah. If you're angry, you get out the emotion. And if you get it out, then you're able to sleep that night without the sleeping pills. Lust and anger and greed, good thing. Greed is good. You become big multi-billionaire like our president, Donald Trump. billionaire. Isn't that the goal of life? That's what we're taught. We're taught all these different subjects, you know, in economics and in politics, English and mathematics and science, how to become effective in the material world so that we can be a money-making entity. There is no other goal in these educational institutions. Even when they teach religion, it's on a completely analytical basis. And it's not filled with the faith that we get from Srila Prabhupada. The hope that we get from Prabhupada. The love that we get from Prabhupada. It's this analysis. Well, I think he means this. Well, I think he means that. No, no, no. I think he means this. No, 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 no. He means that. This is the, and then if you remember all the thises and the thats, maybe you can get an A on the examination and go on to teach the same thing. So what is the value? The value of such an education? It really has no value. And one should not misunderstand me as to mean that one should just not have an education. That's not the idea at all. One can have an education. And if one has certain propensities, certain talents, certain abilities, may have an ability in politics, in debate, or in law and order. I mean, after all, Lord Ramachandra, he was a head person. He was a king. But he didn't say, well, you know, I'm a king, I have to deal with all these different matters, you know, worldly matters, things which have to do with people's criminal activities, their civil activities. There are different problems in life, the economy, the politics, the social system. He never complained about any of this. He took it as his loving service to the Lord, although he is the Lord, but he was playing the part of a king. And therefore, being playing the part of a king, what he did is he tried to show by a perfect example, by the way he spoke, by the way he acted, by the way he judged things as was needed, so that he would set the perfect example of righteousness, so that many other people who would follow would do the same things and thereby continue the creation of this perfect society. It was perfect in the sense that there were no, when Lord Ramachandra rules, nobody had any diseases. There were no famines. There were no big fires unless they were necessary. There were no hurricanes, no earthquakes. None of those things. Why? Because there was a preponderance of goodness overwhelming the entire land. And when goodness prevails, all of those other problems that I just mentioned, they don't exist. But when there is sin and more sin and more sin, they begin to multiply. That's why we see with so many things which are happening today in the world, it's so unfortunate. And you know, fires breaking out here and there. People getting into vans and driving into whole crowds of people and killing them as if they were just flies. A lot of this comes from computer technology, the computer games. Let me mention something about that. I'm not blaming them per se. It comes from a deeper source. The deeper source is not knowing who you are and not knowing what the purpose of life is. But when people play these computer games, they kill people. One after another. That's the whole idea. Who can kill more people? And so killing becomes just another act. And it doesn't stand for what it really is. To take another life which has a potential, which has a possibility of being happy and fulfilled and God-loving. He doesn't understand any of that. Just kill, 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 kill until it's just... one becomes callous to the very idea of killing. And sometimes we hear about these 6-year-old, 8-year-old kids. They just find their father's revolver and their brother comes home. Boom, 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 boom. Brother's dead. Why did you do that? I just wanted to. Why did you want to? I don't know. I just wanted to. I like to. Because that's what they play on the computer games. Kill, 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 kill. So therefore, we should be very careful about what we show our children. Of course, I know the question is going to come. What about Krishna when he kills the demons? Is that a good game to play? As long as he understands, the child understands why Krishna is killing the demon, that's okay, you see. Not just kill, kill, kill for the sake of killing. You're good, you're bad, you're bad, you're good. Krishna stands for for the, as he himself mentions in his own words, whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. So yes, there's a time for violence and there's a time for peace. And we should not just put down violence for violence's sake, because it's necessary to defend a country or a civilization that is striving to maintain peace and creativity amongst its among its people. So that is a very important point that is being made here, that we can achieve many of our goals. We have people here who are musicians, and they're playing for Krishna at our festivals, and they're giving Krishna consciousness to persons in a very beautiful way. I was doing my table, which I distribute these audiobooks. I was finding it difficult to concentrate on my on my own service, because I was hearing Sura and the girl there. It was just so beautiful. It was mesmerizing. I said, this is really fantastic. People can become Krishna conscious just listening to these wonderful tones. I wasn't hearing the rock and roll stuff over on the other side, and thank God I wasn't. But this beautiful Indian melodies and sounds and lyrics are very, very nice. So everything can be used. For example, George Harrison, he approached Srila Prabhupada, and he said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, well, should I shave my head off and put on a dhoti and be like every Prabhupada? He said, no, don't do that. He said, well, why not? I have this philosophy. I believe in the same thing. He says, yes, but you can be more useful to this movement if you stay out there and you create songs and perform songs which are God-filled, God-driven. And because you're so famous already, people will sing those songs and become advanced spiritually. And of course, he made this wonderful album called the Hare Krishna album. And one of the songs on it, we sing every morning, Govinda, Govinda. And so literally millions of people chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And that song went right to the top of the charts. And then there was My Sweet Lord. So probably you can see the wisdom that Srila Prabhupada had, rather than sticking him in with the devotees here, and he probably would have blooped in probably 5 weeks or maybe sooner, said he kept him in there in devotional service according to time, place, circumstances, and his situation. So therefore, it is very important that we understand that there are some people who are gifted in certain ways, and if they continue to try to be Krishna conscious, they pray for the mercy of the Lord, they beg the Lord, please help me to do this job, do this duty, do this activity in a way that will give pleasure to you. If you help me to think of you, if not in the front of my mind, certainly in the back of my mind, while I'm doing my service to you, I will be so grateful and so happy, because I know you will be manifesting through my words and through my thoughts and through my actions. And if you manifest, it will be perfect, because everybody will take the benefit of your thoughts, your feelings, your words coming through my body. And it can only be good. It can only be great. And the demons, they will get taken care of by you also in your own way. So that is the idea behind this. And that the real goal of this Krishna conscious movement. And I should make one more point here, is that Krishna has made it very simple, although Prabhupada mentions it's very difficult in this age of Kali to achieve God realization. There's so many obstacles, so many things on TV, so many things in the magazines, so many things in newspapers, so many things on the internet. One minute this is pulling, another this is pulling, another this, something, someone is advertising some beauty soap so that your skin can look smooth even when you're 90 years old. So, or person is telling you how to get rich quick by selling real estate. He gets rich selling it, but everybody who pays for it, they get poor. So, beauty and wealth and then power and strength, people are striving for these things. People are striving for fame, thinking that if I'm famous, people know me, I hear devotees do this. I'm leaving the movement. I'm going to become a famous rock star so that I can be famous and I'll do what George did. But Prabhupada never said that we should leave the movement for those things. He was already out there. So he's told them, yes, continue what you're doing. If you're not out there, there's no reason to. You can do all your music here. And inspired, there's some few devotees there. They're beautiful voices. If you listen to them intently, closely, they're so uplifting. They bring so much joy and happiness. So we can do these things here for Krishna. So that is the... Krishna has made it so easy for us to come back home, back to Godhead. If we get into the habit of chanting the name outside of the temple, when we're crossing the street or going to the market or driving our car, and we have these nice tapes of Prabhupada, or CDs of Prabhupada, CDs, we have Sura CDs, we have some of my own books, audio books. There's so much time that we can utilize. We must utilize every moment because death is stalking us every moment. Sometimes a person thinks, well, I'm not going to die within this year, certainly. Why do you know this? Krishna told you that? You know, I feel it. Yeah, well, good luck to your feelings. And then he dies the next day. It's like James Dean, the famous actor, 1950s. He had made three major movies. One of them was Rebel Without a Cause, another was Giant, and the other was East of Eden. All Academy Award nominations. He was only 20 years old. And I remember one of them, Rebel Without a Cause, because in those days I was doing movie extra work, and I was in that movie with him while he was there. I still remember up on the planetarium scene where Bhrigupati and Sri Jai Chaitanya, where they distribute. And up towards the back, towards the front actually, the building, there's a grass area. And he was sitting there like, you know, holding court. And there was like 50 girls all around him, just all little, it's just aping his every word. He was a chain smoker. He could not stop smoking. Every moment he was lighting up, taking another one. So he was talking, from the looks of him, he looked like he thought he could never die. I'm invincible. I'm invulnerable. I'm here for now and forever. That's the look that he had. Well, let me tell you. Not long after that, he hadn't even seen two of the movies that he had completed, that hadn't been released. He was in his Porsche car, which those days cost him $7,000, which today would cost him probably $170,000. But he was driving his car, and he wasn't driving too fast. He was driving at a normal speed. But there was another guy coming on the crossway, and he was making a left turn, if I recall. And in making that left turn, Dean's car was coming this way, and they were on a collision course, and smash, Dean died immediately. He had a passenger who didn't die, only got a few scratches. And the person in the other car did not die. He got a few injuries. But James Dean died. Incredible actor. But he was thinking that he had it all. Nothing could stop it. Nothing will change it. I'm going on and on. I'm a forever person. And there you are. So we should all take a lesson from that particular example. We can go out and that could be the end. And if we continue to remember that idea and therefore remember Krishna continuously, constantly, unfailingly, unendingly, Krishna, 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 even if you don't get the whole mantra, you will go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions that I see a hand up? Yes, somebody bring the microphone. Thank you. If you're having a problem, you can come up here and say it, then I will say it into the microphone. Everybody will hear it. Yes, come here, right there. Yes, what is the question? You can talk normal voice.
You were talking about the importance, the last 2 months when the child is, before the child is
born. Yeah.
And the child is praying for that.
Yeah.
Having the chance to fully realize this knowledge.
Yes.
And now we are born and now we are also facing to this spiritual life. And on one hand is to know all this knowledge, and then on the other hand, if there is a difference in between fully realizing it in the heart, to unfold this realization.
It's working now.
And to lock in in this realization so we can make it in one lifetime.
Yeah.
So my question, what was that in the spiritual life that made you realize and unfold this realization in your heart? And fully lock in this realization.
Oh, they got the microphone, but we're not going to do the whole thing. Basically, what you want to know. Now, when, I don't get the timeline here. You're talking about when? When you're in the womb or when you're outside the womb?
When we're outside.
So when do we get that realization?
To fully realize it in the heart that this is the only thing that
is counts. Is
good. So we would have green light and follow without deviations.
Yes, okay. That's a nice question. As I mentioned, the living entity promises the Lord and begs the Lord for the help that he will become God-realized in this life. And yet he becomes so surrounded by external affections and external, deviations and external interruptions and interferences until finally he doesn't even know there's a spirit. He doesn't even know there's a spiritual life. So the whole point is this, is that it's a question of, a lot has to do with the family that you get into. You get into a family that is very materialistic minded, very difficult. So the question really is that, the answer really is that we must try wherever we are, at any given time, to spiritualize our life in any which way possible. For example, a person may be passing, he just lives up the block and he passes the temple and he has a little curiosity, what is going on there? So he steps in and he looks in, takes his shoes off and comes in. His spiritual life has begun, you see. And if he has done some meritorious work, some charitable work, some loving work, some kind types of work, Krishna will bless him with interest in those things which we are deeply interested in. So that's the start. So the question really comes down as to when a person will become serious. He needs to have great association. It said even 1 second with a person like Srila Prabhupada, it has such an abundance, or I should say a superabundance of spiritual potency that it can make you come from the state of forgetfulness of who you are and why you're here, come from that state and go to the other state of why am I here? What am I doing here? Is there a higher purpose, you see? Because that's what he breathes. And when he breathes, it comes into the person. And he doesn't even know why that's happening, but it's happening because spiritual emanation, as I said at the beginning, radiation is a force and it provokes certain kinds of thoughts. And pure devotee evokes pure thoughts. And just goodness, that evokes certain. Passion evokes those thoughts, and ignorance evokes those. So therefore, you do have to be fortunate. And if at any time you've done something good in this life or your past life, Krishna never forgets it. He may set you up to increase or multiply that good fortune just by that. And it can be the beginning of spiritual life. There are so many others, so many devotees are giving out books and talking to people. That is the good karma. And if by chance they start to read this and understand it by the grace of Krishna, their whole life becomes changed. So we need to be, we might say lucky, but there's no such thing as luck. We have to do even charitable things, even that becomes conducive towards getting a higher form of charity, which is to know the real purpose of life and then engage in the activities which lead to that real purpose of life. Okay? Yes, sir. Can somebody bring the microphone to the gentleman there?
Hello?
Is it on?
Earlier you were mentioning how Krishna kills...
Can you make it a little speak a little louder? You speak a little louder. I think it's...
It's on. Okay. Maharaj, Earlier you were mentioning how Krishna kills the demons, and I was remembering the painting of Agasura that used to be over there, and I've also read that those demons represent our anarthas, and particular anarthas, and Krishna destroys those anarthas and removes them from us and kills those anarthas. But I don't remember what anartha that Agasura demon represents that we have.
You don't remember what?
I don't remember what the anartha that the Agasura demon represents that Krishna destroys, which anartha that is.
I'm sorry, but I really don't understand your question. I'm sorry, it just doesn't, it's not clicking with me. You're talking about anarthas and what the anarthas represent?
That Krishna kills the demons, and each of those demons represent different anarthas that we all have, and they're slowly, and that Krishna destroys those anarthas. But I don't remember what anartha the Agasura demon represents.
You don't remember what? I didn't catch that part.
I don't remember which anartha the Agasura demon represents.
Oh, neither, I don't either. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which, and I don't think it's important. I think it's important to know what the anarthas are and to avoid making the anarthas. But who they represent and who they don't, I'm not conversant with that. And even if I were, I don't think it would add one feather to my spiritual glory. Next. No more? Again, thank you all very much. Have a wonderful, delightful, delicious prasadam breakfast. Hare Krishna.